down the boots and scrape up the knuckles.
Oh, what a hit!
He got jacked.
This is the Big Red Rage with Perry Rhodes. Presented by Santan Ford.
Picked up by Rhodes at the 25. Cuts left to the 20, to the outside 10. Rhodes to the 5. Touchdown! Perry Rhodes!
The Rage is brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford and the Arizona Cardinals. We do this together. University of Phoenix, the official education partner of the Arizona Cardinals. The Room Store. You'll always save more at The Room Store, Arizona's number one volume furniture store. And by Bud Light. It's the sure sign of a good time. Here we go.
Bang! There it is.
Yeah! Lobbing it far side. Picked off by Rhodes in midfield.
It doesn't get any better than that.
Temperature rising, vision blurring, rage taking over.
From Marley Sports Grill at the Chandler Fashion Center.
Hey guys, where else would you rather be?
Here's Paul Calvisi.
Get the popcorn ready. It's going to be a show.
Ron Wolfley.
What's my name?
And Kerry Rhodes.
All on that, boy. I'm on it. Let's go!
Unleash the fury!
Oh, that's your cue out there. Let me tell you, the regular refs are back. And so is the Big Red Rage. Let's hear it out there. Come on now.
Woo! Paulie, I like to refer to them as the real refs. The real refs.
I prefer the official officials. That's what I like to go with. You know, I'm thinking if the refs can get a standing ovation tonight, like they just did on Thursday Night Football, then what about Kerry Rhodes here, folks? Did you see the game that he played against Philadelphia? Do you have it in you?
Wow.
How motivated are you?
Look at that,
Kerry.
How about a standing O here at Marley's nice. Chandler Fashion Center? What do you think about that?
That's great. Oh, man. Thank you. Thank you, guys. Thank you.
Wolf, do we need to remind folks, just in case, and basically our man went Ronnie Lott. I mean, I'll be honest with you. Can I just dub you right now? Kerry Ronnie Lott Rhodes.
Did he cut his pinky finger off? Is that it, Kerry? Let me see your pinky. Okay.
No.
How are you, by the way? We know how Brent Celek and Michael Vick feel. How about you? How are you feeling right now?
I'm feeling real good. I definitely feeling the love today. I mean, the fans came out in droves today to come see the show, and I'm greatly appreciative of it. So thank you, guys.
Kerry, is there one play that stands out from last Sunday's game? Is there something, I don't know, a play that you recall or you remember that, what was the most important play for you on Sunday?
The most important play on Sunday.
Watch this.
Let me think. Maybe it was 17-0. They were driving down for a touchdown, and actually, a lot of people probably think the sack was the biggest play, but I think the touchdown saving tackle on Deshaun Jackson.
Wow.
How about that, Wolf?
I love that.
Yeah.
It was first and 10 at the Cardinals 15.
That's right.
And boom, there was Kerry Rhodes to save the touchdown to Deshaun Jackson in the open field.
Yes.
You know what's really kind of cool about that, Kerry, because you were laying the wood the week before, right? You were just laying the lumber out there on the field. Interestingly enough, Deshaun Jackson, of course, kind of went into the fetal after he caught that. Did you happen to notice that? He kind of went into the fetal like, oh, no, this Kerry Rhodes is going to blow me. And you did just that, didn't you?
That's the cumulative effect of seeing some big hits out there.
And that's the thing so many players forget about, isn't it?
Yes.
Putting it on film, getting it on film, letting other players see you play on film.
No question. They're not going to be coming through the middle no time soon, I hope.
It's funny because, you know, just like a Beanie Wells, DBs will turn down Beanie Wells because they see him on film. It's the inverse as well. Receivers know exactly who's in the secondary, don't they?
No question. What they dub about, I had to channel my inner, what you call it, Ronnie Lott. So
inner Ronnie
Lott. I had to take some stuff out for him.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's, let me tell you.
That's an investment, Paulie.
I'll be honest with you. I like where he blew up Brent Celek on back-to-back plays.
Oh, my goodness.
Just the fact he drilled him on the screen and then down the middle as well.
Yeah, he had the second one he had coming.
Oh, really?
We'll talk about that one later, but the second one he had coming.
Kerry, how about Kerry Rhodes, the bellicose Kerry Rhodes?
Yes, they call me assassin. Kerry Rhodes. It's over here.
That's the face.
My goodness. It is the Big Red Rage with Kerry Rhodes. Keep your distance. Don't make him mad. All presented by Santan Ford here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center. And we'll be back with a very special guest right after this.
Cobb looks like a totally different quarterback than he did in the preseason. Cobb takes the snap. Play action pass. Cobb setting up, looking deep, firing middle of the field for Fitz. He got it. He rolls into the end zone. Touchdown, Larry Fitzgerald.
Oh, you come with a little play action. Nnamdi Asamoah cannot cover Larry Fitzgerald on the post. What a great read and a great throw. And the Japanese Fighting Fitz knows how to finish.
I tell you, there's a lot going on right there. First off, with each passing touchdown this season, Wells Fargo donates $500 to local schools through the Passing Touchdowns for Schools Fund. Wells Fargo together will go far. Larry Fitzgerald was named NFC Offensive Player of the Week. 9 grabs, 114 yards, a touchdown.
Second
straight year he's done against the Eagles, too, Wolf. You think they might make an adjustment somewhere in there, considering he did the exact same thing, even worse, to him last year?
I think the Eagles were very, very confident in defending the Arizona Cardinals offensively, and Larry Fitzgerald in particular, because of their great corners and because of their great pass rush. I think they thought they'd get to the quarterback before he would be able to deliver a big strike like that to Larry Fitzgerald. And anytime you've got Nnamdi Asamoah and you've got Dominic Rodgers-Cromartie on the corner, I think that probably gives a defensive coordinator too much confidence.
I agree. I think we have guys like that that are capable of covering one-on-one. They tend to leave them out there. But we did a good job of protecting, like you said. Those guys didn't really get the Cobb as much as they thought they would. So it was a great job by the offensive line.
And not only that, on that play, Paulie, let me just say that Nnamdi Asamoah believed that he had safety help in the middle of the field, but we ran a guy down the middle of the field as well, another receiver down the middle of the field that sucked that safety up, and then Larry came over the top, and the play action, once again, was a thing of beauty. 7-man slide protection, play action, it was max protection, and Kevin Cobb and Larry Fitzgerald made them pay for their insolence.
It was a great play call. Yeah, no question.
So wait a minute. If that safety in the middle of the field is named Kerry Rhodes, does he suck up and allow Larry Fitzgerald to end up in the end zone? Do you fall for that?
Oh, no question. I do not.
I see. And by the way, Wolf used the key word there in talking about Kevin Cobb, deliver, because not only did he have the 2 touchdowns and a passer rating of .127 and 17-24 passing and no interceptions, but delivery might be imminent. When it comes to his expectant wife, he had to leave practice sometime this afternoon, Kerry. Did you have to get out of his way? Was he rushing out of the locker room?
Yeah, he failed twice getting out the door, but he's a very happy guy. I think we haven't heard any news if it's happened yet, but like you said, it's very imminent, and it's a real possibility that could happen today. So,
and it's timely thing. Because if it happened on game day, there was a very real possibility he would not have. And if John Skelton can't go, I mean, there would have been a possibility that Ryan Lindley could have been the quarterback on Sunday. Maybe.
No, Kerry Rhodes was third. I'm on the line.
I was next this again. Oh my God. Just to let
Kerry,
you know.
Seriously, are you saying you are the emergency quarterback?
If he hasn't beat out early Doucette, and he's in denial. He still hasn't beaten out early Doucette.
Yeah, it's me and early going back and forth. But, you know, I'm so confident in my arm. You know.
Man, I'll tell you. Honestly, we're in trouble, Kerry. Yeah. All right?
We're in trouble.
Would you be better at quarterback or running the Pat-Cat that Patrick Peterson is doing right now?
No, that's all his.
I see. Running the ball.
I can just throw it. Yeah.
You don't want to get hit. No. I see. You're more about delivering the hits. How physical was that game? I mean, I was wincing just from the sideline. I mean, I almost got jack stomped in the very first play because somebody drilled Michael Vick out of bounds, and he almost took out all the team doctors and yours truly.
Well, it wasn't as physical for us. I mean, we just did our thing. So you got to ask Brent Celek and Michael Vick about it.
Oh, man.
All right, take us through it. On the screen that was incomplete, you lit him up, and I'm going to guess he wasn't too happy about that.
Yeah, so after the first tackle, I hit him the first time. He got up and he said, Kerry, I'm coming to get you. So I said, okay. So I saw him again. I had to find out where he was on that formation. I looked at him, dropped back, and if they would throw it the other way, it may have been a touchdown because I went straight for him. So it was just part of me getting at him again.
So wait, are you talking about the post he was running over there where you waylaid him?
Yes.
Man, I'll tell you what, Kerry, that brought me right out of the boot. Seriously. You took that shoulder pad. What I loved about it, you deliberately removed your head from the equation.
Yes.
And how you were able to do that on a bang, bang like that, I don't know. But you did it, and then you waylaid him with the shoulder pad. That was awesome.
Yeah, it's tough to do. With the fines going on, I tried to get my head out of the way, but it was a good play.
So he says, Kerry, I'm coming to get you.
Yeah.
And then the play call has his number right down the seam. He must not have been too happy as soon as he broke the huddle. He knew there could have been trouble.
I think he did because he looked at the sideline like, again. But, yeah, so it's one of those things.
Let me ask you this. If the regular refs are out there, the official officials, do you think either one of those hits gets flagged up just because they were so vicious? And it seems that with the regular refs, anytime a hit sometimes is too hard, regardless of whether it's a form tackle or not, sometimes it draws the flag.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It would have been a tough call. But like you said, it was a bang-bang play, and those guys let it go. So I was lucky. I didn't get a FedEx either, so I was happy about that as well.
How conscious are you of that? How conscious are you of that? Of doing 1, 2, 3, of making sure you don't launch, and it's the shoulder and not the head, and just sort of thinking it through?
You don't do it that way, but it's in your mind just from all the reps of trying to do it the right way. It's in your mind subconsciously doing it, but you can't think about it on the field. You just have to react and go.
All right, it is the Big Red Rage. Kerry Rhodes, his very special guest, is on deck. We'll come back here, all presented by Santan Ford, Marley Sports Girl at Chandler Fashion Center.
Play action. Back to throw goes Vic. He has time, looking right. Gets sacked instead. Drilled by O'Brien Schofield at the 35. A loss of 11.
Well, the reason why the Cardinals got a sack, they were trying to set up a screen, it looked like, to the right of Michael Vick. Darnell Dockett read it the whole way, and that allowed O'Brien Schofield to make the play.
No doubt about it. Yep, a little foreshadowing right there. And I'll tell you what, who else had a game against the Eagles? Oh, I don't know, a guy who had a sack. He had a half dozen tackles. He had a tackle for loss, and he had two quarterback pressures coming off the edge. A big part of the Cardinals' Big Red D, which is one of the best defenses in the NFL right now. Welcome back into the Big Red Rage, presented by Santan Ford. Kerry, go ahead with the rest of the intro here, the guy to your left.
My special guest, up-and-comer. He's ready to go. He's injury-free. He's going to be a menacing pest off the edge. O'Brien Schofield. Woo!
OB, how you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm doing real good. Doing real good.
Take us through that sack, OB. Exactly what happened on that play? What do you remember on that play?
Well, we had a pressure that was going to bring the safety blitz off to the right, and we ended up switching it to the left. So that put me going inside the B gap. Well, I saw play action, and the whole line was running in front of me, so I was like, well, they're going that way, and it's over here. Let me get over here and make this sack.
You came underneath Doc, didn't you?
Yes,
I did.
Not
a little TE. Doc went up the field. You came underneath him.
Yes.
And that play right there, they were going to try to get the ball to Jason Avant, weren't they?
Yes.
They brought him. I've never seen a play like this before in my life.
I know. They left Vic wide open for me.
Exactly. They lined him up, Paulie, all the way as a tight end tight off the left tackle, ran a zone-type play to the right. The entire line ran that way, and Jason Avant followed him. I think they were trying to set the screen up to him, and then OB got there quickly, and man, you got some Vic grease, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
Did you say anything to Michael Vick because you were lording yourself over him?
I had nothing to say. Not till the game was over.
Anybody feel sorry for Michael Vick at the end of the game? My goodness. I mean, honestly, I was waiting for medical attention just to come out on the field. I know he's got that $100 million contract. Dare I say, he earned it. I mean, that's a lot of money. He earned every penny the beating he took.
That's funny.
Seriously.
The way I look at it is, you know, we knew that he was going to be very mobile, and we wanted to contain him and not let him make big plays with his feet. And to be able to hit him and get as many hits, our goal was 6. And our coach said we ended up getting 21. So
yes.
I think we exceeded that by a lot. Wow.
Speaking of coach, I was talking to Ray Horton. I was asking about calling the game and making his call. And he sort of interrupted me and said, well, I didn't call the game. They called it for me.
We did.
Said the Eagles called it for me. They told me what they were going to do, and we reacted accordingly. Explain that to folks and what he means by that, Kerry.
Well, we're going to a game with a couple of calls, and it'd be like a check with me, like for the offense, but the same for us as a defense. So we've graduated, and we've gradually got to the point where now we can go out on the field and make calls and put us in the right defense for what they're in. So that's what he's saying. Just giving us different checks to put us in the best possible situation.
All right, guys, I want to ask you this question. Feel free to expound right here. But what is happening with this defense right now in those meeting rooms, in the locker room? What is happening with this defense mentally, physically, spiritually?
Well, I think that we're all becoming brothers. We come in one unit, and everyone believes in each other. Last year, everyone was new to the defense, and, you know, some guys played out of position trying to help another guy, and now this is a second year in the defense. We have some very intelligent players that are able to make different checks and pick up different things we add on the field, and to have great veteran leadership. You got guys like Kerry and Dub, who's been to the playoffs and who's been to that next level, and us young guys, we're trying to follow the older guys, and, you know, we're just playing with so much energy.
Do you feel it, Kerry? Do you look at this defense and watch yourself play, of course, and are you guys feeling it as a defense?
Yeah, I do. I think, I've been a part of a number one defense before, number one ranked total and points per game. I've been a part of it, so I know what it takes, and I see this unit growing together. He's actually right. I mean, we actually like to be around each other on the field. I think everybody knows that the next guy is going to do his job just as well as I am, or he's going to do his job. So when it all comes together like that, and the athletes we have to go out and make plays, it's a scary thing and a fun thing to be a part of.
Was that a process last year to get everybody to buy in and realize, okay, if the defense as a whole plays well, then it's good for me too? Is that a process?
It
because
is.
It's a business.
It is. Like you said, when you get to be a little older in this league, you get to see. I've made a lot of plays in this league. He's making plays now, but I've made a whole lot of them in my career. So it's not about me personally making a play every game or being selfish to the point where I got to be the guy making the play. Knowing that as a unit, as a defense, collectively, everybody's going to make their plays, and we've seen that. You've seen that. The fans have seen that. Everybody makes plays. So it just makes our unit that much more unpredictable, and it makes us better as a unit. So it's been fun.
Is it sustainable? That's what everyone wants to know, right? Is it sustainable, guys?
It is, but that's the question for us to answer without play. We can't answer it right now. We got to go out and get it done every week in and week out, and that's what we're going to do.
Because you guys went to New England and you stifled Tom Brady and the Patriots, yet you were installed as an underdog at home. And I know there were a lot of doubters, especially on the East Coast. Are they for real? You enjoy that? You guys enjoy sort of internalizing that and then showing it on the field?
Of course. You know, being a great defense, you want to be put in adverse situations to show that you can prevail as one unit. And besides the hype, besides the old Patriots that won the Super Bowl, this is a totally different group. You know, and that's what we had to focus on, not the tradition of what the Patriots were. We had to believe what we saw right there on that film, and we saw that they were beatable.
Folks, they're the number one scoring defense in the NFL. 2 touchdowns allowed in 3 games. More with Kerry Rhodes, O'Brien Schofield, and a Big Red Raid.
Snap to Vic. He'll throw again from his end zone. He's in trouble. Runs near side of the 5, now tackled at the 7-yard line by Darrell Washington. Michael Vick cannot get away from D-Wash.
Michael Vick is getting his pants pressed. D-Wash rushes and then comes back on Michael Vick with that blazing speed. Wow! Michael Vick has met his match.
Yeah, guys, I'm going to need further verification. I saw it with my own eyes. I still don't believe my eyes. Was that Darrell Washington running down Michael Vick in the open field? Is that what the film said on Monday, guys?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, it did.
That closing speed is something else, isn't it?
He's ridiculous. I'm telling you, like, he's I think his 40 time was on like a 4 or 5, but on the field, he played so fast. It's crazy.
What does that do for a defense when you got a guy who can run with someone like Michael Vick?
Well, we got a lot of guys that can run with him. Yeah. But, I mean, the way D-Wash is playing, he's playing so relentless right now. It's amazing.
What is the strength of your defense right now as you guys see it? What is the strength? I've got my own opinion, but what is the strength of this defense as you see it from your perspective, OB?
I think our strength is just our belief in what we're doing. You know, we believe the information we're receiving, we're believing that we can achieve what people may say the impossible, but that's becoming the number one defense and taking this team to the playoffs. And I think when you look at guys like Darnell Dockett and Calais Campbell, who are just very athletic and holding up the middle, and you have me and Sam off the edge, and our secondary has been playing like outstanding. You know, the addition of Will Gay, that's just been amazing to have another veteran on our defense to help us with things. And then when you talk about a guy like D. Wash, who's just, he's having a really good year, and it's almost like I made a comment in practice, like we're watching greatness right now in front of us.
You know, to me, Paulie, just watching these guys play on film, watching the X-Men, as I like to call them, on film, it's so apparent just how athletic our front seven truly is. So I'm talking about Dan Williams as well. Yeah. Dan Williams, now that he's lost weight, he is moving so well for a man whose belly button could muzzle a Doberman. I mean, he is moving very well. It's the athleticism and the speed of our front seven that truly is giving offenses fits. And the way that I really was able to see that was against Michael Vick. Michael Vick is, and Shady McCoy, yeah. We are talking about two of the most explosive human beings on the face of the planet. And our speed held up to their speed. That's an amazing feat.
But I think it was Paris Lennon who mentioned to me that, you know what, not only a fast defense, but a physical defense. And typically, you're one or the other. And yeah. Maybe that's the Cardinals' competitive advantage on defense. You guys can match up physically, you know, if someone's trying to pound you, but then also run with an offense. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, that was, I think somebody asked me that question during the week about, were we a great defense yet? And I said no. I said we're not a great defense yet because we haven't done it for a whole year yet. But what we are going to be is a team that's going to show up every week, and we're going to be fast and physical, and that's so true. We're going to come out and hit you in the mouth. It doesn't matter who you are. You may get a play on us, but you're not going to keep making plays on us, and that's the mentality that we take.
I look at you guys and what you've accomplished defensively. Let me ask you this. How do you not get complacent?
Well, I think we have a set of goals that we have come up with as a defense, and Ray pointed out today we haven't met any of them. So, you know, we still have long strides. Not only are we congratulating ourselves the day we win and when we have success, but when you get in film, all we're focused on is what we didn't do right. We're trying to perfect each and every play and communication.
That.
So until we get to that point, I don't think no one on our defense will call us great yet, but that's what we're striving for.
Yeah, once again, like he said, I mean, after the game, everybody was patting us on the back, but the first thing that everybody said was, We didn't play great. I mean, we played okay. We played well. We played good enough to win, but we had too many mistakes with communication, and then we can get better with that. And that's the biggest thing with our defense. The more we communicate and we know what we're doing, we're going to be that much better.
You know, that's what I noticed in the team playing coming home from New England. It wasn't like you guys had won the Super Bowl. I think there was an assumption by, you know, a lot of fans and people around the NFL, oh, that must have been one big party on the flight home. No, it was very businesslike. You know, I know we were cutting together sound bites on the TV side Sunday night, and one of the editors was like, no one's smiling at the podium. They're like, you know, you're at the podium and Fitz is at the podium and all the guys, you know, and they're like, well, wait a minute, nobody's smiling here. So you guys expect this out of yourself.
Yeah, we just come out, and like I said, we're very workmanlike right now. I mean, we haven't accomplished anything yet. We're 3-0. We haven't won the division yet. We're not in the playoffs yet, so we haven't done anything. We got a lot to prove, and we're going to keep these guys happy for the whole year to let them see that we're going to be successful for the long run.
You know what, Paul, Dad? There's no way the warlike Kerry Rhodes is going to be smiling.
That's true.
All right.
He's looking for someone to hit.
That's
he's looking at the media
right.
Going, who's asking a sawed-off question? I'm going to light that guy up like Ronnie Lott. That's what he's saying.
You know, I asked you guys, is this sustainable? And the reason why I believe it's sustainable is because I don't think there's one guy on your defense that says, look at me. I mean, honestly, there's not that one look at me guy. You guys are operating as a sole entity, if you will. And I think that's the strength of this defense as well. The fact that you got a bunch of lunch pail guys that aren't trying to separate themselves from their teammates, but trying to actually be as one defensively.
No question. I agree.
You'll hear the play of the game next. We'll talk about it. We'll take you through it. And remember, Cardinals single game tickets on sale now. Go to Ticketmaster.com. Back with the Big Red Rage right after this.
6 seconds to go in the half. No timeouts left for the Eagles. 17-0 Arizona. Vick takes, drops back, and again, hit! And the ball's out! It's picked up by Sanders! Running at the 20! No time left! Can he score? He's at the 45 of the 40! The 30! The 20! He will score! Touchdown! End of the half! Nick coughed it up! Sanders! To the house!
Oh, Michael Vick got the full Monty! What a play by the black shirts!
Vick never saw Kerry Rhodes.
We're going to have to get the oxygen tanks up to the booth for Dave Pasch and Ron Wolfley. You guys had to put the masks on there. That's from 17-7 at the half to 24-0. That was a 14-point swing right there, 93 yards officially. And it was all, well, it was right here. Kerry, come on now, Kerry. Come on. Tell us exactly. You're coming off the edge. And once again, we're in the Big Red Rage. Kerry Rhodes, special guest O'Brien Schofield here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center, all presented by Santan Ford. But that touchdown was presented by you, Kerry. Tell us, and you know what? It didn't look like he saw you, even though he's a left-handed quarterback.
Yeah, it was weird. I thought the same thing. I thought he saw me. That's why I ran so fast. Faster probably than I ever did in my life to get there. Because he was looking at me, I thought, but he didn't.
He didn't.
He didn't see me.
Was he looking at the other end of the end zone? He was looking away from you into the end zone, you think?
Yeah, I just think he was focused downfield. But for the play, though, I mean, it was just another great call by our defensive coordinator, Ray. I mean, down there, he likes to dial it up, and I was able to come free and just make a play for the team, make a tackle, and James Sanders picks it up and slowly, methodically makes it to the end zone. So I was happy it got there.
Boy, tell me that it did not bring back memories, though, of a certain play that happened in Super Bowl 43 with the Pittsburgh Steelers and James Harrison. Yeah. Tell me that. Yeah. I mean, it was so similar. Yeah. It was kind of spooky.
It's the first thing Ken Wisenhunt said when I asked him about the play. You know, I just reminded him instantly. Well, because he's on the sideline. He's seeing it from one way go the other right in front of him, except this time in his favor.
Yeah, I was in New York watching that play, and I had picked you guys to win the Super Bowl, so I was pretty upset by the play at half. And, it was
you
tough.
Didn't wager anything.
You know, I
no,
asked,
don't answer that. Do not answer that question.
I asked James Sanders after the game if he knew there were double zeros on the clock. He said he didn't know. He didn't know if that the time was, you know, it was do or die. It was either make it to the end zone or you're going to the locker room.
That was it. But it just shows again about the team and the thinking of our defense. We want to make turnovers, but we also want to put up points on the board. And to see guys running down the field, hustling, trying to get blocks to get them in the end zone was amazing.
And there was Fitz again, trailing one of those big plays by the defense. He's running all the way down the field with his helmet in his hand. What is it about Larry? He wants to get in. He's running that like it's some sort of parade. He wants to be part of it.
Yeah, I think he's a 12th man on defense or something like that.
When I tell you guys that you're 3-0 for the first time since 1974, 3-0 for the first time since 1974, what do you think of, Kerry?
I wasn't born, so I don't
know. Oh, you're such a...
Oh, Wolf's taking that personal.
Yeah, he doesn't like that one.
He's got a big birthday coming. Don't worry about
it. You know what's funny about that? I remember it. I was actually, 12 years old at the time, right? And I remember that Cardinals team that was 3-0 in 1974.
Come on.
Dan Dierdorf, Jim Hart, Terry Metcalf, right? Conrad Dobler. They were 10-4 on the season, got knocked out in the first round of the playoffs. I actually remember that season pretty well, kind of.
Let's talk about O'Brien and how gratifying this might be. And I'm only going to go back 3 years. We're not going back to 1974. We're going back 3 years because this is the first full year in the NFL, O'Brien. I'm wondering now, how rewarding is this for you? Because there you were, for folks who don't know his story, you're at the Senior Bowl and you were off the hook and all the scouts are talking about you, and then bam, a devastating knee injury. You went from a probable first rounder to the fourth round. You didn't even start practicing to the middle of your rookie year.
Yeah.
And you know, you played some, and then you had the lockout, so you lost all those reps last year in the minicamp OTA. And then the second half of last season, boom, you flashed, and you've been a big part of this defense ever since. I mean, but it's been a process for you, obviously.
Yeah. It was, playing defensive end in college and then finally, getting to the NFL and making that transition to linebacker.
Thank you.
It was a lot different from the standpoint of me having to just pass rush all the time, now knowing how to drop into coverage and, read different things and see the formation. So it was a new world for me, but I put a lot of hard work in. I met with coaches after the meetings, and I did all these things just to get the opportunity to get on the field, because I knew once I was able to get on the field that I can play ball. I mean, they saw me play ball, and that's why I was here. So the fact that they took me in the fourth round, I always felt in my heart that I owe the Cardinals everything that I have until, I'm done.
Last year you guys finished the last 9 weeks of the season 7-2, and the defense, without a doubt, was the impetus for why you guys finished the season in 2011 7-2. Now, all of a sudden, through the first 3 weeks of this season, of course, you guys are undefeated. Are you guys better this year defensively than you were last year at this point?
I think so. I think we're we've just rounded into a defense that just we never say die. I mean, even if a team gets down on us and drives and gets into the red zone, we think we're going to get a stop and they're not going to score. So that's just the mentality we take, and I think overall we have improved.
So you don't think you've just taken what you did last year and transferred it to this season? You think this season you're better?
Well, I do, because when we played Kansas City during the preseason, that was an eye-opener for us that we just can't show up and things are going to happen.
Interesting.
Because of what we did last year. And after that loss, we took that very personal. And we have a saying, the standard is the standard. And we're setting a new standard and a new bar for each and every person that's going to say they're on our defense. You know, we don't settle for anything less, like, but excellence and your best. So I think that the mentality and how much we have matured as players overall on our defense is going to put us in a very good position to become what we want to be, and that's great.
Man, I'm pretty jacked up right now.
You know, I was going to mention that earlier, the Kansas City game, because a number of guys in defense have mentioned that. What was so sobering and eye-opening about that Kansas City game, Gary?
We physically got beat. Like, we lined up against those guys, and they beat us. I mean, and when you get beat like that, it just lets you know that you have to be prepared and ready to come out to battle every week. It doesn't matter who you're playing, what situation you're in. Just come out and be ready to swing your stick and let them know you're there.
And, Obi, do you think that helps guard against a letdown the rest of this season? You know, as you guys hear a lot of these accolades and you start being favored and you're the number one scoring defense, you know, do you think about that Kansas City game?
You know what? To stay humble, yes, I think we do, you know, because at any moment, any Sunday, you can be beat, and we have to continue what we're doing, being consistent. That's what the coaches are preaching. That's what we're all about, is being consistent.
All right, Kerry Rhodes was out and about today. We will talk a little bit about that. We'll also talk about Ryan Williams all next on the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford.
Snap to Cobb. It's an inside run. Williams, left side, 35-40. Williams cuts it outside at the 45 of the 50. Got the first down and more into Philly territory. Steps out of bounds at the 42. They needed 17, and they got about 25.
Oh, did they need that? Like they needed a little Pepto after eating a hot taco on a Saturday morning. My goodness.
First of all, who eats a hot taco on a Saturday morning except in your house?
Love hot tacos on a Saturday morning.
Thank you, Dave Pasch, for asking the question everybody wanted to ask, although I'm sure you can get a hot taco here at Marley Sports Grill at Chandler Fashion Square. No need for a Saturday morning. How about a Thursday evening? Yes, it is a Big Red Rage every Thursday evening during the football season with Kerry Rhodes and O'Brien Schofield. And it is all about you, presented by Santan Ford. And you know what? I'm just going to say real quick, on behalf of Ryan Williams, and I'm curious to you guys, because he told a real poignant story after the game to a few of us in the media, that Kevin Cobb came up to him after the fumble, and he said, "Hey, look at me. I got booed. I came out in the home opener. I got booed against Seattle. He said, oh, here I'm making all this money. I lost my job." He said, "How do you think I felt?" He said, "And I came out." He said, "And look at it now." He said, "I've turned things around. You're going to get a chance again. Be sure to keep your mind right." And, you know, he pretty much opened up, and Ryan Williams told us about that story. I was just curious, you know, Brian, you coming off your knee injury, did you ever have a moment in the last year or so with Ryan Williams where you shared a few things just about your rehab and recovery?
I talked to him as soon as we got back to the facility, you know, and I poured my heart out to him as far as letting him know everything that he needs to expect, everything that he needs to do to stay positive. For one, keep positive people around you. Don't keep anyone around that's going to give you doubt, because the moment you get doubt and feel like you can't do it, you can't. You know, it's very hard coming over a major surgery. You have to be very motivated to do the work, be consistent on getting strong, and just knowing that it's going to get stronger, you know. And that's one thing I said, just make sure you stay positive. If you need to talk, hit me up. If you got any questions, you know, anything, hit me up. So, you know, that's how I started my relationship with Ryan, actually.
Well, we saw in that fourth quarter, guys, you know, where he got into a rhythm there, you know, Ryan Williams. Here's hoping we see that all the time, because now it's going to be out of necessity more than ever. Beanie Wells on injured reserve at least till November 25th when he's eligible to come off. So I guess he now is going to have some added responsibility, is he not?
I would think so. I think he's ready. I think he's had his bumps in the road early. He knows what the NFL is about now. You know, these are his first few games in his career. So I think he's learning on the fly, learning on the go, and he's going to be fine. I mean, he's a guy that we count on to make plays, and I think he will be able to do that.
You know what's amazing, Paulie? The Arizona Cardinals are number 12 in the National Football League in rushing attempts per game. Rushing number 12 in the NFL, 28.7 rushing attempts per game for the Arizona Cardinals.
I did not know
that. And do you know that they're number 30 in average yards per carry?
Yeah.
We're only averaging 2.8. What does that tell you? That tells you that it's dogma. It is belief. It is philosophy that part of the Arizona Cardinals and how we win football games is running the football and trying to remain three-dimensional offensively while the defense keeps his team in games.
No question. That's a good point. Good point, boy. Listen.
Thank you, Gary.
Can I segue to say it is dogma and is part of, you know, what you consider your responsibility as a professional athlete here in the state of Arizona to go out and about and do everything you can for those who are less fortunate? Kerry Rhodes, ladies and gentlemen, out there today, East Valley Men's Center in Mesa, contributing and donating food and clothing. La Mesita Family Homeless Center in Mesa as well. And I know for you, this is a year-round thing. We see you at Thanksgiving, for example. Tell us about today and what it was all about to you.
It's just about, you know, seeing these young men and knowing that they are less fortunate than I am, and being able to see to light their day up and give them hope. I mean, that's what it's about for me. I think anybody in my position that has an abundance of things, I mean, to give back is always great, and that's what I've always believed in.
Considering you're on the list for one of the best dressed in the NFL here, 2012, were you giving things out of your personal closet? Because there's going to be some really well-dressed guys out there after today.
Yeah, it is some stuff out of my closet, so they will be GQ. Oh, so it'll be another added dimension to it.
Are you trying to keep up at all? I mean, you know, you got some nice silk suits. Does anyone wear silk anymore? I mean,
no.
Boy, I did kind of dated myself right there. Right? Okay,
you might want to go shopping with Gary.
Yeah. Might want to do that, Paul.
Out there, you know. Is there pressure in the locker room to keep up with Kerry and Larry Fitzgerald? They end up on all these best dress lists. How does that work?
Man, I just gave up.
I see.
I don't have the finances yet to compete with those type of guys.
But it's this cold war of wardrobes. You just can't keep up at that point.
Yeah, man. Yeah. It's definitely a fashion show, and it's good, though. It's always good to see, you know, guys taking their job.
Right.
You know, seriously having a little fun with it.
Now, how about your guy, Sam Acho? I know he kind of got a hard time last year as quite have an NFL-worthy closet. Did you guys help him out in the offseason?
He still doesn't have an NFL-worthy
closet. The thing about it is, though, he's getting better. He's getting better. You know, I don't know if y'all were in the locker room at the time, but during the preseason, he actually came kind of dressed up. So everyone was like all excited and taking pictures of him. on Instagram and Twitter.
pulling out the cell phone.
Yes.
Got see, now he's self-conscious, guys. So he went back to his previous ways. Is that what he did?
I don't know. That's their boy, man. You know, in the linebacker room.
I see. Any other young guys who need a little help, need a consultation from, like a stylist or any sort of wardrobe guru, any of the young guys who haven't quite made the transition to the NFL yet?
I don't know. Who you think? Anybody?
That's a good one. It's probably one of those linemen. You know, it's kind of hard finding clothes for those guys. So,
how about Jamel Fleming? How's he doing? He holding up pretty well.
I think he just wears like the regular stuff. I think he's okay.
He's a polo guy.
Yeah, I think he's a regular guy. He's okay.
I see. Hey, it's the St. Joe's Health and Wealth Raffle. It's coming spring of 2013. For more information, visit healthwealthraffle.org. That's healthwealthraffle.org. All right, we'll talk about a rookie quarterback. Oh, the Cardinals' defense against a rookie quarterback. Is that even a fair fight? We'll talk about that next. The Big Red Rage, Kerry Rhodes, O'Brien Schofield, presented by Santan Ford here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Square.
Daniel under center. Back to fake. He's rolling to his left on a bootleg. Going to take it to the corner, and he gets a touchdown. Ryan Tannehill. A great block by Anthony Fasano. And there you have the first touchdown of what should be a very long career.
All right, Ryan Tannehill, the first-round rookie out of Texas A&M. Yes, he's been the starter from the get-go. We know that because we saw it on Hard Knocks. He was installed ahead of Matt Moore even before the first preseason game, Ryan Tannehill. I feel like you can kind of know the guy just based on HBO, you know, in the preseason. Did you guys watch Kerry Rhodes, O'Brien Schofield, Ron Wolf, yours truly, Paul Calvisi on the Big Red Rage? Were you? Do you watch Hard Knocks?
I didn't watch it at all. I never watched it.
O'Brien?
I used to watch it, but I didn't watch it this year.
Not at all?
No, not at all.
You guys kind of live it, don't you?
Yeah.
How would you be if cameras were all over Flagstaff following your every move potentially? How would you be with that?
I don't know. I mean, I think you need privacy sometime. For me, I'm a private person anyway, so I don't know about it.
As much as I think I would want to be on the show, I'll be so tired during camp. I just want to get to my room and lay down. So I'm not quite sure how it would be just to always have someone, you know, following you and being your, you know, personal.
Well, you got a taste of it with Channing Tatum up at camp, you know, just all the insanity and the cameras following you around, right? I mean, so.
Look at the ladies, though. That's just ridiculous.
Okay, so they react over there.
What do you think of the Miami offense, guys, when you watch them on film?
I think that their running game is very good. You know?
It is.
Their offensive linemen are very fundamental, and they do a really good job pulling. Their guards are pretty fast, and, you know, I think they are a very good team up front, so it'll be a nice physical battle.
What is really an anomaly about the Miami Dolphins offensively is that they run the power running scheme exclusively. They don't run the tackle zone, the inside zone. They run the power scheme, don't they? Exclusively.
Yes, they do. Yeah, they're running downhill. They got a great center now in the Pouncey, so he does a great job of, you know, run blocking for them, and they're a very physical group.
That's
up front.
Almost unheard of in the National Football League today, isn't it?
Yep.
What's interesting to me, you tell me if I'm wrong, is they have Reggie Bush, who would be great in some of those other schemes that you were talking about that they don't run. Yeah. I don't see Reggie Bush as being your classic power scheme running back, obviously.
No,
you don't, but he looked pretty good on film. You know, I think that he's adjusted well. I don't think he's gotten the credit that he deserves, you know, at that position. And I don't think that's a guy you want to take lightly, because I've seen a couple plays where he starts up inside and then he just bounces it so fast and he's gone. You know, and that's one thing we got to limit.
Because once upon a time, he was strictly a third down back. I mean,
yes.
He wasn't an every down back, right?
Yeah, he's adjusted down there. I think they use him well. I mean, he's an every down back down there, and he's running well, man, running very hard, too.
Okay, what about Tannehill when you look at Ryan Tannehill? What do you see?
He's a rookie. I mean, let's not bury the lead. You're going against a rookie quarterback. Come on now. Can I say it? You're going against a rookie quarterback.
I didn't ask you, Paul.
My goodness.
You know what? He's actually looked good. I mean, he's made some mistakes like any rookie would, but for the most part, he makes the right decision. He gets the ball out quick, so he understands the schemes and he knows what he's doing, so that's a plus for him. But he looks good. He looks good on TV.
But he hasn't seen the Cardinals' defense yet. And that's going to be a bit of a different look for him, I would presume. Right, OB?
Yes, it should be. You know, I think Ray has a very good time in his office when he sees we're playing rookies, because he comes up with all different type of defenses to confuse them and, you know, give them a hard time. And I think we have a good time doing it. So it should be fun.
What else stands out about the Dolphins, guys? What else do we need to know about this team? What about all this talk Carlos Dansby? He was on with Wolf earlier today, right?
Yes.
On Arizona Sports 620. I know he knows, you know, I mean, we all know him very well. Carlos is a great talker, but I guess guys have been going back and forth text messages. I mean, that's going to be an interesting dynamic, is it not?
Yeah, I haven't talked to Carlos in a while, but we actually played against each other in high school, so I've known him for a while. But I heard him and A-Dub have been going back and forth, but we'll see how that goes.
He was a receiver in high school.
Yes.
Yeah, he played tight end.
Wolf, he said he got up to 270. Is that what he told you?
270 to play Mike Backer, because they're running a 4-3 defense. He's exclusively Mike.
Wow. Very interesting. All right, we continue to roll on here. The Big Red Rage, Kerry Rhodes, O'Brien, Schofield, presented by Santan Ford. Hey, welcome back into the Big Red Rage. Hey, guests on the show receive a fine gift from Bueller Swiss Watches, available at Gold Rush Jewelry in Casa Grande and Arizona Watch and Jewelry in Tucson. Kerry Rhodes, special guest O'Brien Schofield, all presented by Santan Ford at Marley Sports Grill here at Chandler Fashion Square. All right, guys, so you're favored. For once, you're finally the favorite in a game. Does it feel different? Does it matter? Does it bring anything different in terms of responsibilities? Are coaches harping on it this week to make sure nobody gets too full of themselves? I mean, where are you guys at after a Thursday practice and nearing game day?
I think that everyone's focused on the Miami Dolphins and knowing that at task and at hand, because, you know, looking at film, they're a very physical group and we're not taking them lightly at all. You know, they have some very good players for them, and we're not at once, you know, thinking that, you know, we have the upper hand because we're favored. That doesn't mean anything to us at all.
You mentioned once upon a time you were part of a number one defense with the Jets. Currently, the Cardinals are the number one scoring defense in the NFL, only allowing two touchdowns through three games. You still connect with some of your Jets, former teammates over there about, it's got to be a circus these days. I mean, that whole thing. Anything, you still keep in touch with us, especially in off days with some of those guys?
Not that often. Yeah. I don't really have time. On my off days, it's not an off day for me. I'm usually working somewhere, so I don't have that much time.
They take notice, though, of your game. Do they notice what you did on Sunday? That highlight played like 8 million times of you drilling Michael Vick.
Yeah, they did. They a couple of the fans were like, we want you back or whatever. I was like, I'm in Arizona State now, baby.
So, it was good. You guys got something special going in front of the Red Sea at University of Phoenix Stadium, don't you?
You do.
How much does that actually help you guys? A guy like you rushing the passer, getting off and getting an edge on the lineman.
You know, I think that I give a lot of my credit to the coaches. Like they make cutups for me just to study, that tackle and already give me cutups of guys, how they've won, if they had success and they didn't. I really take that to heart and I study. So when I come out, I'm not just out there pass rushing, but I have a plan on how to win.
The fans have been great. Thanks for the support, you guys. It's been awesome. Thanks a lot.
We'll see you next week on the Big Red Rage.
Joel. You've been listening to the Big Red Rage with Perry Rhodes.
Rhodes to the five, touchdown!
The Rage is brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford and the Arizona Cardinals. We do this together. University of Phoenix, the official education partner of the Arizona Cardinals. The Room Store. You'll always save more at The Room Store, Arizona's number one volume furniture store. Bud Light. It's the sure sign of a good time. Here we go. This has been an exclusive presentation of the Arizona Cardinals Football Club.